Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, verse 13, declares this: love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. The last time we considered the book of Proverbs, we looked at the verse just before that, and says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. What that is saying is that the impartation of a new heart, a heart that hears the voice of the shepherd as he speaks. Now, no one, since the Lord has ascended back into heaven, has heard with this ear. I know they say they have, but they have not heard the voice of the Lord. He speaks one way. He speaks through His Word. And there is a spiritual ear that hears. And I'll tell you something that is a good indicator of when the sheep, the regenerated sheep of God, hear, when they hear. Whenever you hear someone stand up and preach the gospel, and you know, that's the gospel, and it rings true to your heart, you're saying, you know what? That's the truth. That's what I believe right there. In your heart, you hear the voice of the Savior. That's when you heard Him. If you get to listen to somebody or you read something and you read that and you think, you know, that runs contrary to what I know is so. That's not the shepherd speaking. My sheep, they hear my voice with a spiritual ear. And they see with a spiritual eye. And there is an agreement. There's an understanding. And they say, the Spirit of God's taught me that. And I know that to be consistent with these scriptures. The voice of the Savior always, always gives all glory and honor and praise to the Christ, to the Lord Jesus. Always. The voice of the shepherd never gives any glory to man for his salvation. Never. That's not the voice of the shepherd. My sheep, they hear my voice, or the hearing ear, the seeing eye, Jehovah made both of them. And it's the gift. That's a gift from God. That hearing ear and seeing eye, that's a blessing. That's a blessing to hear from God. But I'll tell you something with the impartation of a hearing ear and a seeing eye, there is then a realization of a battle. A spiritual battle that the newly regenerated sinner never knew existed. Before the Lord calls His people out of spiritual darkness, they never struggled. They were always satisfied. They just accepted whatever a man would say. That sounds good to me. I'll go along with that. But not when God speaks to them. Almighty God gives them a new heart, and now they're going to have to deal with the wiles and temptations of the devil, and they're going to have to deal with the hatred and resentment of the world and its false religion. And they're going to have to deal with the constant realization of their flesh and their weakness and their frailty as they walk through a world that they know they're not of. But with the realization of such things, don't we realize how desperately we need some guidance from the Holy Spirit? I need for the Lord to speak to me. I need for God to teach me something. Well, today, I believe we've got some instruction from the Holy Spirit of God, and we've got a word for our need in this hour. In this passage today, the Spirit of God declares three things to everybody that has been given a hearing ear and a seeing eye. For everyone that has been called out of spiritual darkness, the Spirit of God has got three things to say to us today. And I pray that the Lord give us some understanding here. Here's the three things right here. There's a warning to be heeded to every believer. Secondly, there's an exhortation for our defense. And then thirdly, there's a glorious promise of His provision. Now let's just look at these three things and remember now why we have these proverbs, why we have parables. That's what they are. They're parables. This is the reason that the Spirit of God had Solomon pen these proverbs. Here's the reason. The Lord said when the disciples, I've said this so many times, but we need to be reminded. Why do you have these? They're so easily, I think, understood by the world as far as their natural understanding. The world understands this. But now, to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear His voice in them, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Matthew 13:10, the Lord answered, this is the reason, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now, just the word of the Lord there tells you that there is some distinctiveness about being able to hear the word of God. I mean, Almighty God has just said, I speak in parables because it's been everlastingly purposed that you're going to hear. And they're not. We have today, from the Lord, His word to His sheep. And here's what the word is. Number one, there's a warning for every one of us to be heeded. Now, everyone that has been called out of darkness has a seeing eye and a hearing ear. You hear the voice of the shepherd, and you agree with it. You just, that's the voice of my Lord. That's the voice of the Master. That's the voice that honors Him. Now here's a warning to be heeded to every believer. Number one, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Love not sleep. Now, Charles Spurgeon made an observation concerning sleep that I thought was just outstanding, and I'd never thought of it exactly like this, but he said, sleep, now this is just naturally sleeping. He said, sleep is the gift of God, and not a man would close his eyes in rest if God did not put his fingers upon his eyelids, sending a soft and balmy influence over his frame, causing him to sink into a state of quietness or inactivity. Now you think about that. Sleep. I mean, just to be able to sleep. Now this is the natural understanding of sleep. Sleep is a blessing from God. Our bodies needs the healing properties. And it's God's gift. This, the Lord made these bodies, and humanly speaking, we just can't do without it. But we're warned here, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Now, humanly speaking, don't be given over to it, because it's going to lead to nothing but ruin. That's what it is. Just, you know. Sometimes, you know, we find ourselves tempted to go to sleep, and it's an escape. I mean, we're tired, yes, but just don't, we need it. But don't be given over to it. But spiritually. Now that's what we want to get to. This is a word from the Lord to His people, and it is the Lord, the Spirit of God, who is warning us against the temptations of Satan, who tempts those that the Lord has so mercifully blessed, warning us against the frailties of our flesh. Now, here's the bottom line. We still have the presence of sin with us. It's still there. The debt of our sin has been paid. There's no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. But the presence of sin is still there. And there's still that temptation. You know, you remember when the Lord heard, told his disciples, he said, you're all going to be offended of me this night. Just before he was crucified. And this is what they said. Peter said this, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I'll never be offended. Never. Well, the Lord told Peter, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now that was, just hold your place. Turn with you to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now that was the statement of the disciples saying, Lord, you'll never have to worry about us. We'll never deny you. Now I want you to look at Matthew 26, 36 to 41, and listen to these words. Then cometh Jesus. Now this is, look at 34. Verily I say unto thee, this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said the disciples. So they just said that. Then the scripture says, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, who is asleep. The Lord just said he was asleep. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Lord had just told him, you're going to be offended. Peter said, not me. The other says, not us either. He said, Peter, before this night's over, you're going to deny me three times. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. It'll never happen. Took him out into that garden, went off to the side, took Peter, James, and John with him, began to pray, and he came back. They were all asleep. He said, Peter, while Peter was asleep, could you not have stayed awake and pray that you enter not, that you don't be given over to the temptation that I already told you just a few minutes ago that you were going to succumb to? Could you not pray, Peter, that you not enter into that temptation to deny me? And here's Peter, asleep, physically asleep, but a picture of all of us who are susceptible to do the same thing. Believer. Peter was a believer and did exactly outwardly what the Spirit of God has revealed in Proverbs 20 that we need to be warned against. Listen, Ephesians 5, 14 to 17. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How often we need to be warned of our slothfulness. We need to be rebuked for our indifference and carelessness concerning our walk. And we are all prone to it. Anyone that says, I'm always spiritually awake, I beg your pardon. I don't think so. Not according to God's Word. How needful that we think upon our attitude concerning the hearing of the gospel. Listen, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Make much of the hearing of the gospel. This is the only way that faith cometh. This is it. This is it. Hearing the Word of God, hearing the gospel of God's grace. Be careful. Be careful concerning the calling upon Him in prayer. And when you enter into your closet, not if, believers pray. They're going to find time. They're going to be alone with God. You say, well, they don't have time. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Find time. And when you pray. And be careful and diligent to search the Scriptures daily. Like those in Berea. They searched the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. I've said so many times, when I stand up to preach, if I cannot back up what I'm saying with the Word of God and prove it by God's Word, Lord help me to not say it, because it's just an opinion, if that's all it is. But if I can prove it by the Word of God, then I have nothing to back up from. So when you hear me say something, jot down what I said. Go back and look it up. Believe me, I've tried to do it. I don't want to stand up here and just kind of ramble on. If I don't feel that this is the hour for that message, if there's something about a message and I just don't seem to have the light that I want to have on it or feel that I need to have, I'm not going to preach it. It happened today. I was preparing something out of another passage, and I just got up this morning and felt this is not today. Search the Scriptures. Just be awake. Love not sleep. And the reason? Lest thou come to poverty. A believer can lose. What can a believer lose? Well, I know this. I know he can't lose his salvation. I know that for a fact. John 10, 27, 28, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Well, I can tell you this for a fact. I know that a believer cannot be lost. I know that. But there are some losses that are insinuated by that passage of Scripture. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Lest you come to a loss. What losses are there for a believer. What losses are there for succumbing to the temptation to be lax or slothful in hearing the gospel, in seeking the Lord in prayer, and searching the scriptures? That's the means of God's grace to his people. What losses? Hold your place there. Turn just a few pages to Song of Solomon 5. Song of Solomon 5, 2. Song of Solomon 5, verse 2. Now listen to the voice of the bride. This is Shulamite speaking. This is the bride. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. And here's her answer. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels, my heart, were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul faileth when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. What can a believer lose because of his sleepy, lax, slothful attitude concerning the hearing of God's word, the searching of the scriptures, and seeking the Lord in prayer? What can he lose? I can tell you this. The bride here lost the comfort of his presence. Whenever there's a, and providentially, I know this. I mean, providentially, if there's reasons, but I'm talking about when a believer can and has no reason whatsoever for missing or praying or seeking the Lord in scriptures. And the Lord knows. What can they lose? They can lose the comfort of his presence. And that's something that only God Almighty gives. I mean, you can try to talk them into it or something. You can't. What did David, King David, what did David lose succumbing to the temptation to take Bathsheba, to take another man's wife? What did he lose because of his failure to be watchful? Scripture says he lost the joy of the Lord's salvation. That's what Psalm 51 is all about. Psalm 51, 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, a believer, they hate the feeling of disobedience to God. They hate it. They hate it. You're not going to find a believer that says, it does not bother me to be disobedient. If a person can say that, there's something wrong, desperately wrong. What pain, what loss, what loneliness we experience when we behold ourselves treating his blessed mercy and compassion with indifference. And don't say that we don't have that tendency in us, because we do. You know we do. David prayed, uphold me with thy free spirit. So what a warning. Love not sleep. Don't love it. Don't love it. War against it. There's a battle. This is a battle that goes on within a believer. Don't love sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Secondly, an exhortation for our defense. What does Proverbs 20, verse 13 say? The scripture says, open thine eyes. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes. Now, the seeing eye, the Lord's given it. So I know a believer's got it. So here the scripture says, open thine eyes. The Holy Spirit here exhorts God's people, be vigilant. Be vigilant. Let us be aware of the tendency. You know when we experience that laziness. You know we do. We all do it. I mean, somebody says, I don't. Yes, you do. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be sober. Be sensible. Be aware of what we are up against. Be vigilant. That is, stay awake. Wake up. Wake up. You ever been driving at night? Let me tell you what happened to me one time. I was driving home one night from services. And all of a sudden, someone in the car said, Marvin. And I was already in the left lane heading to the ditch. And Kevin, I never knew it. I never knew it. I thought I was awake. I thought I'm awake. And I realized, no, I wasn't. I mean, I had slipped into sleep. And I don't know how far the car went. You know, I mean, pretty well I had it, I thought, going down the lane, right, correctly, straight. But all of a sudden, I'm going over. Be sober. Be vigilant. Keeping a mindful, observant watch against the cunningness of the devil, of the enemy. You know, I mean, the wiles of Satan, he's the enemy of all mankind, but he's especially the hater of Christ and the hater of God's people. He knows. He knows. I mean, he doesn't know them before they're called out of darkness, but he can detect, you know, and he's had a lot of practice at this. He's good at his craft. He's good. He's, you know, as a roaring lion referred to because of his rage and cruelty. He walks about, the scripture says, seeking by that craftiness whom he may devour. Scripture says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Our strength is not in ourselves, and any attempts of our own strength to resist him is not going to work. Faith in Christ. Lord, help me. Lord, keep me. Lord, uphold me. Lord, faith in you. You said, Lord, that the shield of faith is how those fiery darts are resisted. The blood of Christ. Revelation 12, 9 and 10. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the world, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. There's not a time that he doesn't accuse us. And I'm going to tell you something. Pretty much I'd say everything he accuses us of, we're guilty of. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Open your eyes. Look by faith unto Christ, resting and taking confidence in him who has accomplished the Father's will through the shedding of his own blood. And lastly, a glorious promise of his provision. Latter part of verse 13. And thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Oh, the glorious promise of being fed the bread of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. There is no promise like his promise of keeping his people. I know that we're tempted. I know we are. And there's an old man in us that wants to do one thing. Go to sleep. Don't listen. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. I read what happened to Shulamite. She said, she admitted, I sleep, my heart's awake. It's the voice of my beloved. But I'm just tired right now. I've already taken my coat off. I'm in the bed. But he put his hand and drew her heart to him. And mercifully, in chastening love, he withdrew himself. And you know what she wanted? I want him. I want him. And if I don't have him, I'll not be satisfied. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes. Be vigilant. Be awake. Lord, wake me up. Lord, help me. Lord, I've got a tendency to go to sleep, and I know it, and I'm guilty right here. Lord, wake me up. Lord, if you keep me awake, you've promised this. I'm going to be fed by the bread of life. Lord, bless the word to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.